Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Praise Him. Hallelujah. I love Him so much. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter and the 3rd verse, through loving kindness have I drawn thee. You all know that scripture. Psalms 9:1 says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. The Lord wants us to worship him and to remember who he is. We're in a day and we're in an hour where we've been distracted too much by the enemy's plots and his plans. If you just think about it for a moment, during the day, if your mind is not stayed on the Lord, you're thinking about all that the devil doing, what he's saying, who acting up, what they do. The Lord wants you to bring in your wandering minds and your scattered thoughts and worship him. Where there's a place of worship, the enemy cannot even get in because he hates God. Are you all hearing me today? He even reverences God more than sometimes we do. But we have to get to a place that we worship the Lord with all that's within us. And when you have the love of God in your heart, when you love God, how many of y'all would say tonight that you really love God? Let me see your hands. Raise them high. Yeah. Because in this day and hour, the enemy would have you to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that does what? Believe. And the Bible told us it's through love and kindness. Somebody say kindness, kindness. I don't have a mystical word for you all tonight. I just got a simple scripture. But it carries so much power. Love is stronger than death. The world is in need of love today in a way that it's not needed it before. And it's needed through our individual lives. Men's hearts will fail them because of fear, according to the word of God. And so many times the enemy wants to make you cold. He wants to make you hard. He wants to make you non-feeling. He wants to make you feel like, what's the point and what's the use? But there is a love that goes beyond every emotion of man. There is a love that comes from the Son of this name, Jesus Christ, that once he comes into your life, you cannot help but to love your neighbor as yourself. I'm concerned about the saints that are mean. Look at your neighbor and look at them, see if they look at me. Now they look at me. Huh? I'm concerned about those that put more emphasis on the enemy. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We hear scriptures all of our lives, but we don't really believe what they say. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that every knee was going to bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you've already confessed him, you're already on the winning side. You already belong to him. If you already belong to God, you have an eternal home. So there should be a joy in your life and an excitement about winning somebody else to the kingdom. Who did you bring to Bible class with you tonight? The Bible told us, he said, sheep beget sheep. We're supposed to win others to the kingdom. How many people are you enthused about winning to God? How many of you all are enthused about sharing his love with someone else? How many of you are enthused about telling your testimony? How many of you all got a testimony? The love of God will make you tell your testimony. We cannot be ashamed in this day and hour what God has done. There are so many people that don't know that God is a healer because we stopped telling that he was. There are many people. How many have been healed by God before? Anybody ever been healed from cancer? Look at that. Look at that. So if you know that God has healed you from something, whether it was emotional healing, mental healing, anybody ever been emotionally healed? That means when your emotions was all out of whack, You felt suicidal. You were feeling depressed. You were feeling heavy. You were feeling like there was no point in you living. Talk to me tonight. But then God comes along and he heals your very emotions, and then we won't tell it. The love of God will make you tell it, and we have what we call discernment of spirits. We have discernment after the Holy Ghost comes on us, and many just have the gift of discernment. We can see when somebody is going through, but what do? Oh, Lord, touch him to me. But wouldn't it be better if you go and say, I know what you feel like? Because about 3 years ago, I was where you are. The Bible said that we are written epistles read of men. Meaning that your book, your novel, your story is in your life. And when somebody looks at you, they ought to be able to open your book and find God in it. Somebody should find God in your book. They should be able to find Jesus Christ in you somewhere. They shouldn't be able to put the book down. When they pick up your book, they ought to start reading and start trying to figure out, let me read that again. He said he used to be a liar. He said he used to be a fornicator. He said he used to be full of drugs and alcohol. He did uppers and he did downers. He was snorting $300 a day worth of cocaine. You mean to tell me this is the same man that's on this picture, on the front of this book? You mean to tell me that she used to be a prostitute and she used to be on drugs? This one right here used to be full of doubt and unbelief. You mean to tell me that this person that I'm looking at right now, this man of God, this woman of God used to be this? But it takes love to cause us to humble ourselves and not be fearful. Everybody looking good. People are no longer looking like they've been through nothing. Some reason, some of them looking like that because they on medication. And so they just got that blank stare. And you think it's the peace of God, and there's some peace, all right. And I'm not mad. You have to understand what I'm saying is that the enemy wants you to look and to see people and want people to look and see you and not see Jesus, not see God. God is a deliverer, he's a healer, he's a savior, he's a way maker. I don't care how bad your bondage is, God created you. He know your cells, he know your stems, he know your blood count, he know the white and the red cells in your body, he knows your tissues and your muscles, he know the toe bone that's connected to the foot bone. God knows everything about you, and whatever you need from him, he can fix it. But our problem is that we don't love him like we're supposed to. He said, if you love me, you'll do what? Y'all say that better than that. That's one thing we don't like to do. He said, thou shalt not do what? Y'all don't know the commandments? Come on. What's the first one? Thou shalt have no other what? No other gods with an S before me. Who do you have before him? Is it your job? I can't go to church because I got to work. I understand when you have to go to work, but some people will go to work but still go out on Friday night and don't use no excuse. Some people go to work all day, still go out, hang with their friends when work is over. No excuse. There are people that will work anybody know a workaholic? That'll work 10, 12, 16 hours, and then as soon as you say, you should come to church, they tell you they're too tired. They make up excuses. I just watch from home. But the Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. It didn't mean the building, but you gotta come to church sometime. Talk to me. We have idols. We put ourselves, the television, the computers. I was amazed at how much people, I can see the top of their heads now, Pastor James, because everybody walk around like this. Their heads are down because they're looking in their phones. I was like, do y'all know y'all can hold your phone up right here? Can you? You don't have to hold your phone down. You can hold it up here. But the enemy will cause you to be distracted. Everybody say distracted. And he'll cause you to have other little G gods. People think that means bowing down to, you know, the other religious gods. But our little g gods are right in our house. It's little stuff. It's, we don't pray like we're supposed to pray. We don't seek him like we have other little stuff that we pay more attention to than we give to God. You pray 30 minutes and you feel like you done shook heaven. I prayed this morning. And the thing that's funny is that you prayed, read your scripture, studied, all in 15 minutes. But then you want to give God minimal time, minutes, and you want him to move hours for you. Are y'all hearing me tonight? And I oftentimes use relationship as an example, that when you're in love with somebody, you always want to talk to them. You want to know where they are. You want to know what they're doing, even if you just hung up the phone with them. They just told you, I'm finna go to sleep. And you heard them say, I'm about to go to sleep. You text them, you sleep yet? Because you want to be in a relationship, you want to know them. You get up in the morning, when you open your eyes, you're thinking about them. All day, thinking about them. Go to bed, thinking about them. See, you got to fall so in love with Jesus that when you open your eyes in the morning, he's the first thought to come to your mind. You got to love him so much that during the daytime, while you're working and on your computer or while you're in a meeting, every now and then your mind goes and you just say, I love you, Jesus. You have to love him so much that when you're driving in your car and you're thinking about the goodness of Jesus and you're saying, Lord, I love you today. When you get in a relationship with him, so even when you're not feeling good, because as soon as you don't feel good, you're trying to call that significant other, and you're saying, I don't feel good. But when you don't feel good and you're in love with Jesus, you said, by your stripes, I'm already healed, and my soul still love you, Jesus. When you love him, you'll have a relationship relating to, conversation with, and then you'll be quiet long enough for him to talk back. Some of us will talk to him, but we don't let him talk back. Tell your neighbor, learn how to let him talk back. Demons cannot function or operate in a place of praise and worship where you cannot get all in God's presence, because the Bible lets us know that Satan, he don't want to be in the presence of God. He wants to be as God. Are you all hearing me tonight? And he cannot, so he's a counterfeiter for everything God has done. He's a counterfeiter. So where we have love, he has lust. Are y'all hearing me tonight? You got to know the difference. You have to know the difference. Love lasts a long time. Lust don't, y'all. I want y'all to know it don't last long. Lust will die out. Y'all know it'll die out because, okay. Amen? But the love of God is long. It's never ending. The Bible even says in the Word of God, let's go. I'm going to read a scripture for you. Matthew 12 and 26. It says, and if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? They are unified demons that they know don't bother me and I won't bother you. Are you all hearing me tonight? We as people of God, we had the character at times of Satan rather than God. Now, if the demons, they know each other by name. If the devil knows that he has no authority over the other one, in other words, they know what to do together. Let me give an example. If you have the spirit of depression, oppression always works with depression. Are you all hearing me? If you have fear, you have doubt. They work together. If you have anger, you have torment. They work together. Everybody say work together. Even demons know how to work together. The saints of God, y'all know how to work together sometimes. We have to learn how to love each other so much that we can get along, that we can work together. that we can pull down strongholds together. Because a house divided against itself cannot stand. And when you know that you need your brother, do you need your sisters and brothers in Christ? Y'all, look at it, say, I need you. I really need you. I need you to pray for me. For the Bible says one would chase 1,000, two put 10,000 to flight. Am I telling the truth? You can't fight some battles by yourself. Pastor James talked about his sister beating up people for him, but he was there to watch it. Sometimes you don't have to actually be in the actual battle yourself when God sent help, because there are some battles the Lord said, you need not fight in this battle, for the battle belongs to the Lord. The love of God will cause you to trust him. Everybody say, trust the Lord. Say it again. When you really trust the Lord, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Are y'all hearing me? But when you go back into the archives of your testimony and you start telling people where God brought you from, what he did for you, you know you didn't come out by yourself. I heard someone say once, hey, you know, everybody at church got problems. They know where to come. You're supposed to bring your problems to the Lord. Am I right? Why did you come to him? We get mad when people come with burdens and with circumstance and situations, but this is the house of God. This is where the sick are supposed to come to be healed. This is where the burden are supposed to come to be lifted. This is where the confused are supposed to come for peace. This is where the sad supposed to come for joy. This is where the one that has no direction, they're supposed to come here for direction. Problem is, when they come, sometimes our love is diminished. We don't love like we're supposed to. Every song they sang tonight represented the love of God. I saw you. Many of you were giving the Lord a hand praise. You were just waving your hand. Somebody wave your hand right now. Just go give him a worship with a. Remember that Satan was the top praise and worship leader. He knows how to worship God. But the same worship that he was giving, all of a sudden, he desired for it for himself. How many of us have worshiped God? Talk to me. But now we want some attention for ourselves. We have so many people in the church world who are now taking the attention from God. And now the attention is on flesh. He said he would have no other God before him, not even you. When you decide to take his glory, meaning you're not praying like you know you should, you're not reading your Bible, you're not fasting, you're not praying, but you're in the religious acts of what church seemed like. I know I'm supposed to go, I know I'm supposed to sing, I know I'm supposed to praise, but yet you go back out there and you're still yet bound. How many of you are tired of going through the same thing over and over again? When you get to the point that you recognize how much God loves you, you'll realize he wanna break you. You know, my mother told me when I was a little girl, she said, Denise, when we grew up, she said, when we were little girls, when we would get a spanking, she said, we would always come and stay under Pastor James. We were leaning on and holding on to, especially Kim. She said, she's going to get me for saying it, but yes, it was her. And says that Kim, when she would get in trouble, she would just always want to be right under her after the correction. And so I asked her one day, I said, well, Mom, why do you think that she wanted to be under you after she got a spanking or after you corrected her? She said, because she knew then that I loved her. Now, me, on the other hand, when I got corrected, it was a little different story. I didn't feel like Mama loved me when she corrected me, but I was more rebellious. Kim decided she wasn't getting no more spankings, no more punishments, no more corrections by the time she turned 12. So if mama looked like somebody was in trouble, Kim was somewhere quiet in the corner. I didn't have that much sense. And I'll never forget the day she did something she didn't have any business, and Pastor Mom at the time said, Kim, I'm going to get you. Mommy, no, because I promised Jesus that I would never, ever get another spanking as long as I live. So she said, Kim, well, you better tell the devil if he make you do that one more time, then I'm going to whoop him in you. So the next day, a few days after, I did something I didn't have any business doing. And I said, but mommy, I promised God I would never, ever get another whooping. She said, you lied to God. And she told me, but my point is that in that correction from God, the Lord knows your heart. He knows who you are. And some of you wonder, and you say, God don't love me because he let me go through this. And I'm going through it. Some stuff God ain't got. The Lord ain't got you going through that. It's your own choice. Come on. It's your own mind. He said, I give to every man a will to choose between good and evil. And disobedience is sin, and disobedience causes trouble. Are you all hearing me tonight? But the love of God, he won't let you keep going without correcting you. He won't let you keep moving forth without correcting you. And then he'll bring you to a place that he'll hold you in his arms like a baby. The Lord, how many of y'all ever felt unlovable? Can I see your hand? Just like, I know God don't love me, all the stuff I've done. How many of you ever felt like you were unsavable? Let me see those hands. Oh, I know you were in here. Amen. But listen, it doesn't matter what we do. Jesus died for us all. Yes. He said, I came that you would have life and that more. Fear and rejection will cause you not to give yourself all the way to God. Afraid of making a mistake. Afraid of failure, fear of failing, fear. Lord, I tried to really live for you before, and I messed up, so I'm not going to try. No, keep on trying. Every day, get yourself up and say, I may have messed up yesterday, but today is a new day, and his mercies are new every day. Every morning I get up, I got some new mercies waiting on me. And because he loves me so much, he will receive my repentance. He will hear my cry. When you say, hear my cry, oh God, attend unto my prayer. When you pray from a sincere place, God will hear your cry. I came to tell you all tonight, God love you. I kept asking the Lord, what do you want me to tell them? He said, tell them that they only knew how much I love them. I loved them so much that I let my son die for them. And then I loved them so much that when he came back to me, I didn't leave him by himself. I allowed the Holy Spirit to dwell with them. And then I love them so much that I gave them my word, that when they speak my word, I'm going to back it up. I love them so much that I've given them dominion and I've given them power over the enemy. That's my love for them. I love them so much that I don't want them to suffer. I want to heal them. I want to deliver them. I want to baptize them. But can you receive it tonight? Just say, Lord, thank you for loving me. Can you please stand on your feet? Lift those beautiful hands to the Lord. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. And say after me, Father, I know that you love me. You've proven it over and over again. But tonight I say I love you. Forgive me for all of my sins. Anything that has kept me, out of your presence, I'm sorry. Anything that has kept me from living right, living for you, keeping me out of relationship with you, I humble myself and I say I'm sorry. And Lord, baptize me in the pure love of God that I may share and tell others of your greatness and your power. Father, tonight, I ask that you will pour out on me your love in every crack and crevice of my being. Give me revelation of what your love really is, and I will share it with the world. Lord, I say to you tonight, help me. Help me, Father. And I open my heart to you, and I say yes. I say yes to your love. I say yes to your peace. I yield myself to you as a vessel of love. For God, you are love. In Jesus' name we pray. Now put your arms around somebody and just tell them, I love you.